The LIE's we tell.
Wow. Look at you hooked on phonics and spelling. Wow. I am super proud.
The 90s have done me a service, so what can I say?
Ooh, don't blame the era.
No, the era was amazing. But it's crazy how the 90s feels, I mean, for us it feels like it was yesterday, but it's really like 30 some odd years ago.
Ooh, when you put it in that context, I feel old. Wow.
I mean, we are older. We don't use the O word around here, or I don't. Sorry. And it doesn't mean I don't embrace getting old. I just don't like, once again, the connotation of old. Because people, once you say old, people think you are one step to the king. And, you know, you are decrepit and you have all the wrinkles like a bad shirt. And I don't like that. I'm relatively spry, even though my health issues have said otherwise.
I'm on the other end of the spectrum. I don't care. I always say I'm old. It gives me an excuse to leave places early, to not want to go to places. It's easier for me to say no to certain things. So I'm okay with, you know, you call me old, fine. Don't invite me. I'm not coming. I didn't want to go anyway.
That, you see, but that's feeding into your introversion, you know?
And I've been old since I was 20, so I've been grandma since I was 20.
I feel like the older you get, the more introverted you're going to get, and then you're going to become a hermit, as they like to call it. Do you want to be a hermit? Come on, son.
I don't think I'm a hermit, because I'm okay with actually going online and seeing what's going on with the happenings of the world. I just don't want to lock myself out from people. So anybody out there, don't show up to my door unannounced so you won't get in.
Well, no one should be showing up unannounced. That's a wild thing. No one should be doing that. That's crazy. But yeah, I mean, I personally, that's just not my ministry or my church. But yeah, I mean, for those who embrace getting older, sure. I respect it. But when you...
It gets greater later.
According to who? To your health insurance, maybe.
Have you not gotten some... Man.
Of course.
Everything gets greater later.
Okay.
I'm just speaking from experience. Awkward silence.
Because I don't know how to take that. Well, I'll meet you at the crossroads. How about that?
Well, nobody's talking about that.
I'm just saying that's what people think when it comes to old.
Well, shit. No, not everybody thinks about death. I think about senior discounts, early bird dinners.
It's the foodie for me.
All that good stuff. I can't wait. Listen, whenever we go, I'm like, senior citizens get free coffee all day. I'm like, God damn, I pay $4 for a damn cup every single time. And they don't even got the good refills. Wow. But that's just me. That's me and my little quirks, you know? So I look at that early bird special, $14.99 for half a chicken with rice. And I'm like, damn.
You going to the Golden Corral? What is going on?
I can tell you my spots. It's not Golden. Golden Corral is an all-you-can-eat buffet.
But they do have senior discounts there. They do.
Well, only seniors would know.
Well, I've been there with a senior, so I should know.
So... I wouldn't know. I'm just saying.
Sophisticated ignorance.
You slid it right in, didn't you?
Nope, don't do that.
Skirt, skirt.
Queen of the block.
I am evolving, okay?
All right, here we go again. Okay, hey y'all. Welcome to Sophisticated Ignorance. We are back. Again, with more episodes into your earwaves. I'm Vixen J.
Ooh, I'm R to the OV.
And if you guys watch the video on YouTube, which you should subscribe, I was telling Rovi earlier that it looks like she has a tiara on. Tiara. So it's very
sparkly. It's a headband.
It's giving 70s. It's giving
70s? This is all the girls is wearing in the Miamis.
Who's
the
girls?
All the girls. All the right.
I'm just saying the sparkling looks like, you know, Saturday Night Fever or...
I'll get you one.
Or it looks like something from Soul Train or something like that.
Soul Train. I'll take it. I think it's the Purple Rain t-shirt that's giving you that vibe, but
that too. Yep.
Yeah. Don't try to chunk me all together.
You're like an 80s music video right now. Just you're giving that.
Born in the 80s, I can't help it.
Yes, born in the 80s, slayed in the 90s. We know the phrase.
Welcome everyone to another episode. It's good to see you again, Vixie. I feel like it's been so long. Sometimes I miss your face. Sometimes.
Wow, appreciate that. Well, I'll take sometimes versus never.
We have matured, yeah.
Yes, M-A-T-O-U-R-E-D.
One of my friends said that anybody who says the word mature, like mature, they feel as though that they came from Harvard or they graduated from Harvard, and she sent me that meme. And she's like, you are the only person that I know that uses the word mature. I have no idea where I got that from, but it just
stuck. I've heard people say
it. I don't even have a core memory tied behind it, but it just rolls off the tongue for me. But you know, I'm full of drama, so.
Mm. Speaking of drama, we're going to get into that later in the show. Perfect segue, I guess. Set us up, Rove. What are we talking about today?
All right, so there's been a buzz going on with podcasts, and you know, we wanted to dive in a little bit to just break down the anatomy of podcasts and, you know, why people feel as though, you know, podcasts are just too much and everybody shouldn't have one. And there's been a lot of buzz on the internet about, you know, some celebrities, in quotations, that have podcasts and are just saying some real ratchet shit without any type of filter or any type of context to anyone outside of their own mini circle. So we wanted to dive into that, you know? And also we wanted to echo in our thoughts and why we have a podcast as well, too. You know, just to stand firm and just share our platform in that regard.
Right.
Feel me?
And it doesn't mean that we are better than anyone else, because there's a whole bunch of podcasts out there. It's important to remember that it doesn't take a lot to start a podcast. And this is why, you know, the podcast, you know, in all seriousness, this is why the podcast, you know, industry is very saturated, because it's, you know, there's a very easy barrier of entry, right? You know, all you need is a microphone. All you need is a camera these days, or a phone, or whatever, and then boom, you are on the internet and you are sharing your thoughts and opinions. That comes with the good and the bad, right? So, it, you know, it's like everybody got a mic now. Everyone got a podcast. Everyone has a show. And it's very true, because it is a piece of, it is content that is very popular right now, and people, you know, digest it very easily. But, you know,
there's a podcast for everyone too. Also another thing. Not only just sharing your thoughts, there's podcasts about pop culture, history, conspiracy theories, about murder, reality shows, fictional towns, aliens, the abominable snowman. There's a ton of podcasts on everything. So it's a field where someone can listen to something and feel as though they belong to a group, or someone could understand what their thoughts are or what they listen to on a daily basis and their likes and dislikes. So podcast is a way for people to feel like though they can connect to someone via audio. And, you know, I think it's on the up and up, even though it's saturated. I think it's on the up and up, and I don't think it is going to stop anytime soon. And I even feel there may be a platform where podcasts may be the actual ideal source of entertainment. You know, at first it was TV. TV's kind of waning out to like watching, you know, shows on your laptop, your iPad, your phone, everywhere you go. And even that is becoming saturated as well, too. There's apps for everything for you to see it on the go. And then the next step might actually be just listening, because you might not be able to pull out your phone somewhere, but you could just put an AirPod in your ear. Sit down at work. I'm not condoning this, but sit down at work, sit down in class, have one of your AirPods in, and you could just listen to a podcast and get lost. So I don't think, you know, even though it's oversaturated, I don't think podcasts are going anywhere anytime soon. You know what I mean? But for us and our evolution in our podcast, we wanted to create a platform that, you know, we're regular folks trying to have a different perspective on everyday topics that, you know, you and I talk about or everyone in our social circle talks about, and just have a different spin on it. And it ranges from all kinds of topics, whether it's Black women or it's regards to trust issues, relationships, beauty images, music, literature, food, traveling, money marketing, something that somebody can actually take a piece of information and learn from, and also have a deeper understanding of something that they may not know of. And also, we have a side of ratchetness too. You know, we're not all perfect and we're not like super duper experts and PhDs in every topic that we talk about, but just a spin on what a regular person might be thinking or just have regular thoughts and something that we can convey. You know, what are your thoughts, Vixen?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as long as I've been on, you know, the show and just kind of seeing it, you know, evolve, I feel like that's just been the main premise of the show, where we take topics that people talk about every day and do our best to introduce like new angles to it that people might not have thought of, you know, really turning ignorance into some sense, you know, especially with everything that happens on the timeline. If you live on social media or if you're, you know, really involved in social media, you know that there's a whole bunch of nonsense going left or right. You know, and that's the up and downside of, you know, being a content creator, or we're being content creators here, where we hear things and we want to respond, we want to be timely, and the conversations, you know, we want them to be fresh. But with a podcast, you also want to make sure that, you know, as you said, we're not experts in any regard, and we have made mistakes. So, you know, that's just the nature of the game. But realistically, we want to make sure that, you know, the people who are listening to us, I feel like we do have a responsibility to at least make sure that they're getting the right information, you know, especially if we're talking about factual stuff. But everything else, yeah, you know, we do have our ratchet moments, and, you know, we do want to have fun at the end of the day, because this podcast is about having fun, but also, you know, hopefully you guys take something away from it a little bit, not a lot, just a little bit. So
yeah, definitely, I agree with that. What do you think makes or breaks a podcast, though?
That's a good question. I mean, okay, so as you said, there's podcasts that have, you know, a whole bunch of like themes and topics about everything, right? I think, you know, when it comes to the type of podcast that we are, we kind of fall under like the pop culture, you know, culture type podcast. So, you know, most of the time, a lot of people in those fields or a lot of shows in those fields cover the same type of topics. Now, mm-hmm. I think what makes a good podcast in that regard is, you know, having like multiple voices, you know, having good opinions. And even if they're not popular opinions, at least they're backed up with some sort of like merit. You know what I mean? What breaks the podcast, as we've been seeing a lot, like, for example, you know, Joe Rogan's podcast that's been in the media or the news recently for him spreading misinformation. We have all these other type of bro-y podcasts where, you know, guys are just, you know, people believe certain podcasts or certain, you know, hosts in this case, they believe in like the hot take method of like getting popular, where it's like, yo, I'm gonna say something completely like out of pocket, you know what I'm saying, just because I believe that's gonna like bring in an audience and stuff. And the sad catch 22 of it all is that, yeah, you have these, you know, you get these sound bites from these pods where niggas are talking wild shit, and then everyone circulates it and they're like, yo, what the fuck, what the fuck. And yep. As much as all that attention goes into bashing them, it really gives them more attention that they probably shouldn't have. But then who am I to dictate who should and shouldn't have a platform to say what they should say? But once again, I feel like with a platform like this, you know, you have to have some type of responsibility when it comes to what you're saying. So for me, I feel that, you know, especially with our platform, you know, we do our best to be responsible, but also, as I said, have some fun with it. And as long as, you know, the things that we're talking about make sense And even if we have an opinion that may not be popular, it's not harmful. You know what I mean? And I think that's really the most important thing. And some people just don't care about that. They're just like, yo, bro, I'm going to say that XXX. Fuck it. That's just me. Subscribe. And I'm just like, wait, what? This is how you get people to listen with that.
Yeah. I think the most important thing to maintain a good podcast is continuity of content, whether it's something that you strongly believe in or it's something that people are talked about most. Just continuously providing that type of regimen is something that, you know, people will look forward to. So they can say, oh, okay, at least I know next week this topic is going to be covered because we've already spoke about this. So I think that is also important. Some things that I think that can break a podcast, when hosts ramble on a lot and they just start blabbering and just saying a whole bunch of talking loud with nothing to say. That happens a lot with a bunch of podcasts. And I guess that's where the bad press comes in. That some of them have a lot of ads. I know ads are something that help with shows, but I know a lot of my friends reached out. I'm like, I used to love this show. And then every 5 seconds is an ad popping in. I mean, you can't hate on the hustle.
The bills
they got to make the money. But I can see where that, I mean, it has to be a good balance between ads and the right ads as well. Because you don't want to be like, all right, so we get into this juicy topic this girl was talking to and then featuring mattress pads from whatever at a discounted price for 50% off. And now back to the content of the show. And then she was sleeping around and then you feel like you missed a whole conversation. You're like, what the fuck? What am I listening to?
Well, one, but, you know, you
that's the age of the game for for, it's just like TV now. That's what I'm saying. It's taking over. That's the type of evolution a podcast is getting into.
But so, it's wild because, like, back in the day, we used to listen to the radio, and the radio was the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, the radio of then is podcasting now, and it was the same thing where it's like, yo, we're listening to, like, our favorite, you know, radio show, DJs, whatever, and you're talking to a topic, and it's like, all right, we'll be right back, and then you hear, like, 2 minutes, 3 minutes of ads, and they get back into the conversation. So it's really the same structure, but I think the thing with podcasts is that we're not beholden to, you know, we're not beholden to like a large media conglomerate where it's like, all right, you got to do this certain amount or certain number of this and that. And I feel like that is the most important distinction. Now, granted, you have like, you know, the Breakfast Club and blah, blah, blah. They have their own podcast too, which is basically just taking their radio shows and translating it into a podcast format. But the same way where it's like, you know, we as content creators now, we have the control of what we put out there, what type of content. And I think that's really what is the break part of it, is that you are in control of the content that you're putting out for the most part, you know, especially if it's something that you're creating yourself. And the fact that people would, you know, put out something knowingly that, you know, it might be toxic or it might be, you know, like a hot take or it might be scandalous. That's the part where people are some, yo, how can you do that when you have, when you know that this is the type of shit you're putting out there, right? There's no censorship. Like with radio shows and all that stuff, there's at least a bit of censorship. But with us, you know, there's no censorship.
I'm glad you brought that up with the toxic part. And I wanted to go ahead and, you know, segue and ask you, what's the difference between a healthy podcast and a toxic podcast?
I think the difference is that I think a healthy podcast is very aware of themselves, right? And also takes a matter of accountability and responsibility in what they're putting out there. Now, it's one thing to have a pod or one thing to have a show where you're like talking shit, having fun and doing whatever. But if you don't, I feel like if there's a point where you don't check yourself, you know what I mean? Then you could definitely lose your audience. Because your audience, I think people underestimate the audience of these type of shows, right? I mean, yes, granted, depending on the type of show where it is, there's definitely a niche and stuff like that. But the audience is much more smarter than I think most, you know, hosts of these shows take them for, right? So if you're going to say something that's like completely left field, your audience is going to recognize that, you know? And they're definitely going to let you know, like, yo, this shit was like wild, not cool. Where'd you get this from? Because I think we all strive to, especially as podcast listeners, we all strive to hear or at least align with content that reflects our values, right? So when we hear something that is against that, that's when it's kind of like it shocks us and we get to this point where we are calling, you know, these hosts out for putting stuff out there that is toxic, right? And I think, you know, with toxic podcasts or, you know, people who create toxic content, once again, they're very aware that they're doing it, unless they're generally like, yo, I didn't know, my bad, I apologize, I'm sorry. And we've seen a whole bunch of podcasts that have done the same thing where, you know, they said something wild on one episode and then the next episode they go on an apology tour. Yo, I apologize, you know, what I said in the last time just was completely messed up. I didn't mean to offend anyone. And yeah, you know what I mean? Like that, those things happen. So I think those are the two major differences for me. What about you?
I'm glad that you said that. I actually agree with you. I also think that the ones that do healthy type of podcasts, they try to cater towards some type of growth with like their listeners or some type of self-reflection, some type of healing, if it's like, you know, some kind of therapeutic or some kind of advice in regards to type of mental health or just finding oneself or just being a part of everyday society or just uplifting affirmations, something. Those are the healthy ones that I think of, something that tells you about healthcare or parenting tips or money issues or things like that. The toxic ones are the ones where there's like no type of research, no type of background information, and they just say, hey, let's talk about how girls like to wear braids and I don't really like braids. I prefer a girl with weave, something like that. And, you know, and they know that's a toxic kind of conversation. But I think in the mindset of a podcast host like that, they know that it's toxic and they know that it will bring in more streams. But is more streams equate to the toxicity behind the actual content? You know, because some people, any press is good press as long as they get press. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, and, you know, just to talk about that, you know, there may be some individuals who have, you know, toxic podcasts. I'm not saying that, but there's a lot of buzz on the media now about two hosts from The Real Housewives of Potomac. They have a podcast.
Reasonably shady.
And it's Gisele Bryant and Robin Dixon. I actually wanted to play some audio if you are okay with that. I wanted you to hear what they said. And I want you to let me know what is your initial response to whether or not this is healthy or toxic. And how do they move forward from there? Then this is their podcast.
James Harden.
Yes, going from the Nets to the Sixers.
But do the Sixers really know that's James Harden? Because no one can see his face. Because that beard is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. The other day, I was like, who is this dude? Oh, this is Harden. But how would you know? That beard is like down to his knees. There's fried chicken in the beard.
No, it's so bad. I'm so used to it, I don't even notice it anymore.
But that beard look is gone. Are we done with that?
I don't think so.
Listen, his is
clearly
horrible. Not.
Yeah. He clearly loves his beard.
He does. I want it to be gone.
I just hope it's sanitary.
You know? Anytime I see them, I automatically know and feel in my gut that there's fried chicken in his beard. Fried chicken grease.
Watermelon.
There's some Colt 45 in there.
Oh, no, watermelon.
Nah, I'm being real racist. This is horrible. Let me just stop on my head.
Colt 45.
James Harden, I beg
some blunts. Definitely some blunts.
It's some blunts. Some ashes. Oh, it's the whole thing smells like weed. I know it does. Okay, I don't even know if he smokes weed. We're really sorry. Harden, cut the thing off.
Whew. All right.
All right. Well, they were on a roll.
You know, one thing girl that saying,
this
for
might
me,
be racist, but keep going.
Right, and they kept going. Yes, that stuck out for me. You know, you slip up a little bit, whatever. You make the little funnies, ha ha ha, with your close friends. You know, you don't want people to know that you're that ratchet or that racist. But the fact that you were acknowledging how racist you sounded and kept the ball rolling. That's what took me for a loop. And then it just went downhill. Talk about his looks. Fried chicken. His beard. Oil. Colt 45. I haven't heard that in forever. So you can tell how old he is. And and weed, quote unquote weed. She didn't even say perk, grass, broccoli.
And mind you, she even mentioned, yo, I don't even know he smokes that shit, but now
it looks like it, right? Yeah.
Right. No. So now here's the deal. I'm going to agree that James Harden's beard is wild.
I like it.
It looks
suitable. But that's something else. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to end up like Rachel.
What dictionary are we getting? Robin or can we use suitable?
It looks suitable, but I'll just keep my comments to myself.
We all have opinions. That's fine by me. No, but regardless of what I think, it doesn't matter. But yeah, I mean, that's a perfect example of like, yo, we're just going to say the wildest shit at the moment. It's going to be racy. It's going to be raunchy. I mean, the name of the show is reasonably shady. So they're just talking off the cuff. So, I mean, it was racist. Those comments were racist. I think anybody that puts fried chicken and watermelon in the same sentence, automatic. Ooh. Which is sad because fried chicken and watermelon separately, it's a vibe. Even though I don't personally like watermelon that much. But still a vibe. But together, like, yo, fried chicken and watermelon, there's a lot of racial tones or racial undertones that, you know, makes it very messy. But these two people felt like, it really felt like they were in their bag. Like, that's the type of shit that they'd be saying all the time.
Right. That this is their normal element, and they knew that. They're this much racist, but now the whole world knows that they're this much racist. And a lot of people were dragging them all over Instagram and Twitter saying that this is colorism and it's bigotry and it's anti-black with the rhetoric behind it. How light-skinned people hate on dark-skinned people all the time because they both are fair, light-skinned women. I don't know if any one of them is biracial. I don't know the background of either one of them. But even
I don't think it matters
still,
here, but like, okay.
I know, but a lot of people were just trying to put that in and say, oh, they're biracial, and that, but that doesn't matter. But a lot of people were going in about it, about how they look, because they were comparing themselves to how James Harden looked as well, too, because they were just judging him based on how he looked. So, and you know, a lot of people were saying, hey, why does everybody have a podcast in that aspect? And that just only just further the fuel of people hating on everyone who has a podcast. And, you know, something else came up because on my Twitter timeline, everybody's just like, oh, podcasts suck. And I saw Jessie Wu. She also had a video talking about podcasts as well, too. I don't know if you heard what she said, but she was going in, but it looked like it was aimed. I don't want to set up the. I'll play the audio first, but I don't want to set it up where you prejudge. But I want to know what your thoughts are about it. Okay.
Okay. As far as I know, Jessie Wu has been. She's had her messy moments, so I am curious to see what she has to say. All right, I'll listen.
I don't know who needs to hear this, but please don't start that podcast. You are not funny, and you are not insightful, and we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear your colorist jokes about James Harden, how his beard is nasty, and how his beard got fried chicken and Coke 45 in it. We don't want to hear your Joe Rogan-style racist-ass jokes about black people and how we're from the Planet of the Apes. We don't want to hear your podcast about black women and why we're so undesirable. Unplug the microphones, please! Unplug the microphones, please. And go to www.indeed.com and get a job. Get a job. Back to work. We don't want to hear it. Nous pas vétendel. You motherfuckers are buying microphones instead of buying toolbox. Back to work. I don't know who needs to hear this.
Yeah, that was.
All right. That was funny. I will give it that. Now, once again, I didn't know what to expect because I did not hear what she had to say before. So I was very like, I was holding on to my seat because it's like Jessie Wu is either hit or miss.
This one kind of hit for me in regards to toxic podcast. Well, it's kind of the slip of the tongue, but toxic
same podcast. Same thing.
Yeah. So when I first heard this, I was like, well, damn, what the fuck? Why is she hating on people who have podcasts? Like, I'm sure she would have had one too if, you know, but that's neither here nor there. But I was feeling her after she said www.indie.com. So I kind of took a step back and internalized this. And I said, yeah, I realized that there are a lot of, I don't even want to generalize it, but it was a target shooting arrow towards men. But a lot of men think that they could just get on the mic and start a podcast without having any background in like communications, media, social media content, and just say whatever they have to say. And sometimes it works for some people, sometimes it doesn't.
I agree. But ironically,
I understand what she was saying about a lot of men are just saying opinions, but they need to get jobs. I was cracking up because there's some truth behind it. There is some truth behind it.
No, there is. Case in point, there's a clip that was circling around recently about these three guys sitting around talking about, you know, how the worth of women and how much they make doesn't make them desirable. And they got dragged up and down the timeline for that, too. And I was laughing at the Indeed thing because ironically, I logged on to Indeed.com and there are jobs for podcasting. So it's just like there are podcast jobs out there. So it's like if you do a log on to Indeed and you find that podcast job of yours, that might be the right move or wrong. Who knows? But either way, so I just did that to be petty, but that doesn't matter. The point is, you know, this is what we were talking about before, where people utilize their platform to spew their like toxic takes, hoping that it potentially goes viral or it gets a lot of traction. And now people are, you know, drawing their attention to either listening or hearing the soundbite and be like, oh, da-da-da-da-da. You know, that famous example of those two guys from the Fresh and Fit podcast where they were dragging that young lady for how they looked. You know, they got dragged to the timeline too. And it's just like, yeah, to Jesse's point, everyone has a podcast. Everyone has access to a microphone. It's just time. If your intention is to come on, you know, the internet waves and spew all this shit, it is time to hang it up. This is what Twitter Spaces are for, actually. You know what I'm saying? Twitter Spaces are the places to talk wild shit. Man, I use
Twitter for everything. That's why I'm private. But you know what? I agree with that because even though they do have toxic podcasts, and I'm on the dating scene, and I've gone out with a date with a guy who is a follower of Fresh and Fit, Kevin Samuels. Are guys. There are people out there that support that toxic podcast.
Red flag, sis. You got to run. I told you to run fast. 10K.
I didn't learn my lesson yet. But this is not about relationships right now. I didn't learn my lesson. But the point is that there are guys and there's a following behind these toxic podcasts. So even though it is toxic, there are a lot of people, men, women, whoever, that too, they're still getting numbers, they're still getting played, whether it's good or bad, but the good people are still there as their like foundational support audience, you know what I mean? And that leads me to ask, do men with mics use podcasting as a form of therapy?
Men with mics. Make it sound like they got the hammer on them. This is my opinion when it comes to
guys who do stuff like this.
Sometimes I feel like men feel like their voices are diminished based on how, you know, they're talked about on the timeline. Obviously, cis men get a bad rep, respectfully, because misogyny and patriarchy. So I feel like, you know, with these type of podcast platforms, they're taking back the reins and they're trying to say like, yo, I got a voice. I got things to say. My opinions matter and are valued. So that's what I feel like when it comes to guys and podcasts. Do they need therapy? More than likely, but I feel like this is really utilizing the podcast platform and just spewing or just saying whatever is on your mind. I feel like that is their form of therapy, and it's a similar fashion of us talking our problems out to our friends, right? But instead of friends, it is amongst friends, but it's also going out to a wide audience, depending on you know, what they have. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like that is definitely the, you know, the premise there. It's not bad, but once again, if not responsible, it really plays a negative effect. What do you think?
I think that sometimes men do use it as a form of therapy. I don't think, and especially the unexperienced podcasters, you know what I mean? The ones that don't really understand what podcasting is about, and they just try to spew whatever they have to say in regards to however they feel. And sometimes it may stem from something that's like a psychosocial stage that they haven't tried to graduate from, whether it's like mommy issues or abandonment issues or got dissed by the first girl that they went out with, so they hate all girls. Like, you know, it stems from a lot. Right. So some, and maybe the friends that, you know, you and I, we can vent and talk to our friends. Maybe they don't have that kind of platform or outlet to talk to friends. So they turn to a podcast to express themselves. And that's a form of doing that as well with podcasting. But they express themselves to the extent where it comes off as toxic, as machismo, as big time misogyny behind it. So there is no type, you know, maybe if they had someone who could say, maybe you shouldn't look at it like this, because it's very a one-sided view in that aspect. When I think a bunch of men get on there that haven't really talked about something or have experience beyond it, or just have an open mind about a topic, like, you know, sometimes they go in and be like, this is how I feel and this is how it's going to be, period. Boom. But there's always a silver lining. There's a different outlook. There's a different point of view. It's a different narrative. And that's the focus behind podcasts, that you can be open and have different viewpoints and say what your opinion is, but your opinion is not an actual factual. You know what I mean?
But there's a plot twist to what you're saying, too, because there are circumstances where these bro-ish podcast do invite the opposite point of view, and in this case it's very gendered. It's like, yo, you know, battle of the sexes, men, women, whatever. So there are cases where, you know, these people invite, you know, people on the show that have an opposing view, but they use that opportunity to now try to shut that argument down, and that creates a viral
moment. Well, that's counterintuitive.
It is counterintuitive, but they want to seem fair by inviting other people with opposing views, but then they bash or they overshadow the other person's views by either belittling them, insulting them, you know, not taking their words, you know, to heart. And that's where you have these, once again, these toxic type of shows where it's not really about, you know, having a fair and balanced conversation. It's really about, yo, I want to get my shit off and, you know, I'm just inviting other people around me to hear it. You know what I mean? So, and especially just going back to the whole male ego of it all, you know, it's really, once again, I feel like men's voices, cis men in this case, I feel like cis men's voices, they feel like they're like pushed down or disregarded.
Silence.
So they create these spaces, silenced, yes. They feel like they're silenced. So they create these spaces where they could say what they have to say. And people are, even though it may be like toxic or it may be damaging, there are people that are sitting there now and like,
yeah
bro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
I that's agree. The core platform. And women too. Let's it's not just
no,
just
I'm
men,
not talking about
it's
men
women
either.
Too.
That's their core platform. I'm telling you, there's people who agree.
Right.
People.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, end of the day, you know, in the sense of an audience, there is going to be someone that agrees with what's being said, regardless of, you know, how harmful it is. So there's an audience or there's a platform or
and
audience
they're entitled to that as well.
Point for everybody. And yes, granted, very entitled. But then there's, once again, the catch 22 of if I'm spewing this type of rhetoric or information, now I'm spreading it and it's going to just keep going over and over. Hell, low key, someone's probably going to refer to that episode, for example, to say like, yo, my man's was making points. Listen to this. Check this out.
And that's where they're unaware. Yeah, they're unaware of what the consequences of their actions would be. And that's where it is.
And that's kind of... It's scary, but it's also, I think, encouraging for certain people to once again say, yo, if that those type of people have that type of impact, let me go on Amazon.com instead of Indeed.com, buy myself a mic and get this party started. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what to really think. I mean, freedom of speech, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, we all know how that kind of is abused and translated when it comes to, you know, the podcast industry. So,
yeah. Well, I wanted to end things off with this tweet that I saw. It says, please stop doing podcasts, fellas. We need plumbers. So it sounds like this is a cry for women demanding men to do more blue collar work or just work like Indeed is going to be the topic instead of podcasting. I don't know where that stemmed from, but it seems like there's a lot of a type of drive behind women not wanting men to do podcasts. But I think that we can also appreciate that there are some men who are doing podcasts out there that are beneficial and influential to other men and uplifting that black boy joy. But right now, that's not the climate. Climate is, y'all got to go. No. Y'all got to go get to work. Get out to the farm. Go cut a tree. Word. Bring home some bacon. Let us light some fire.
Bring a switch.
In the fireplace. Why do you think it's happening now? Like in this climate, why do you think women are demanding men to not be vocal? Now, for years, we've been asking men to speak their minds. And now that they do, it's like, nah, you're talking a little too loud. Go back to work.
Right. Yeah, because do you hear what they're saying? Like, this is not what we asked for. We asked for you to be vulnerable. We asked you to be open. We asked you to be mindful. Not, oh, let's get out here and bash, bash, bash. It's giving triple tomato energy. Like, get off the stage. We're not asking for this. And rightfully so. I feel that, you know, once again, with everyone having the access to a platform, people feel like they just have to say anything that's on their mind, regardless of what, either for shock value or this is the things that they really believe. And is anybody willing to hear? Now, you know, even outside of the podcast platform, let's say, all right, it's not recorded for an audience or whatever. At the end of the day, these people are having these type of conversations with their homeboys or they're having these conversations with different people. So, you know, it's just being translated it's just being translated into content, really, at the end of the day. So, you know, for me, I believe, or even though I don't really seek it, I am a proponent for like male empowerment, male encouragement, male uplifting, all that stuff. I do appreciate that. And, you know, it is something that I would personally like to hear more of, like healthy conversations between black men or just healthy conversations in general. But the problem is that those type of conversations get pushed down. They're not, mm-hmm. you know, a positive message coming from a podcast is not going to go viral compared to one that's like ratchet and ridiculous. So, I mean, if anything, it's a matter of pushing out those narratives more often or pushing out those conversations and really, you know, changing the way people see these type of platforms that we have. Right. Because there are some shows out there that are really doing the work and really doing good by having healthy conversations, even if there are disagreements, but having healthy conversations, being safe spaces, providing the spaces for people, different people of different backgrounds or all types of backgrounds to feel included. That's the type of work that podcasts should do. But once again, we only hear about the bad stuff. We only hear about the racism. We only hear about the misogyny. We only hear about these things because, you know, once again, we live in social media land where all the hot takes, you know, come to the forefront. So how do we change that? Well, it starts with us. And that's why we're here.
Yeah, I agree. I even told you that, you know, we need to celebrate the men that do the work and the positive vibes. And I even mentioned to you that guys don't go on guys trips, like, you know, girls go on girls trips all the time. And I told you to make a group. I told you, get a group of guys, make a little social group and say y'all could go together, you know. But I guess, I don't know. I don't know what the issue is behind that. But I don't see nothing wrong with a bunch of guys taking a trip and y'all go explore fucking the Aztec in Cancun. Like, you don't, and then y'all could party out there and hang out, see, travel, get some history, some insight, all that fun stuff. So I think that's a space that's unexplored, just, you know, with males. And this is why, you know, a lot of the positive podcasts aren't uplifted. We need to find a space for that so there can be more awareness of that, so more people are aware of that and they can listen and tune in. And, you know, if I knew some of them off the top of my head, I'd have mentioned them, but I don't. So we need to find a space where we can have that avenue so that can come in, you know?
Hashtag guys trips. Yeah, I concur. You know, at the end of the day, I feel like, you know, those type of healthy spaces are possible. But, you know, it really comes down to how people view it. You know, I wish that, you know, more podcasts or more shows, and granted, you know, I can listen to more myself. The podcasts that I listen to are few and far in between, but I would hope that people who do decide to make a podcast or start a podcast, I really hope they consider or they keep in mind the type of audience that they're trying to draw in, you know, and also the type of content that they are trying to talk about or the topics that they're trying to talk about is really going to benefit those who are listening. So I think just one of the major takeaways from this episode, or really just, you know, from all the other things that we covered, is that, you know, just be respectful to your platform, right? I mean, think about it like this. Like, would you want your mama to listen to an episode of this podcast that you're trying to start, or a podcast that you've started? If you would not allow your mom to listen to this, then this is probably not the right thing for you to do, right? I think that's just the golden rule, using the mom rule in that regard. So, that's really my kind of like takeaway from it all. And, you know, at the end of the day, we can't stop podcasts from starting. We can't stop podcasts from happening. But we could really do our best to do the work to make sure that the platform and industry itself is a respectable one and not just a place of waste.
I agree. That was good.
Yeah, I'm glad we talked about that. And, you know, we also were able to, like, hold a mirror up to ourselves because, you know, we are still growing, you know,
even
5 years in. We are still growing ourselves. And
you know my tagline.
Who knows? There might be somebody out there like, yo, why these two got a podcast? Hot take, you know? And I don't have an answer for you, but the answer is you're listening. So, joke's on you.
People get podcasts every day, B.
Great, but we still hear dogs. So, let's wrap things up so with... Well. We were, and then we... unraveled.
That's where the ratchet comes in.
Word every single day. But yeah, let's end. Do we have anything to endings off with?
Oh, on sure. Your roof? You know I'm coming through with my block list. You know that, right? Rovi's queen of the block list. I am coming through, and everybody know that, you know, where I'm coming from is going to be hitting everybody in their pockets, because guess what? The gas is too damn high. No, gas is high, but you know, I'm not complaining because I don't want to say how much it takes to fill my tank, because a lot of people get mad, but you know, a lot of people are mad because we asked Byron to take us out to dinner and all he did was raise gas prices, so we don't have nowhere to go at this point. And I'm like, what you doing, son? Why are you playing us like that? And it's like, everybody's like, oh, damn, I got to pay this much for gas. Now it costs so much to go to work. I wish we was working from home again. And here comes the Zoom circle all over again with this BS. So I'm talking to friends. It costs in $40, $50. Gas is about $3.43 per gallon now. Crazy gas prices. But my issue with that is that the main people who are complaining all over the internet are the same people who order Uber Eats and pay $35 to have it delivered 3 blocks away. But what do I know about your pockets? I ain't gonna speak facts, but for me, it costs $23.55 to fill my tank. I'm not going to let y'all know what I drive, but it is a great fuel-efficient car. I'm just tired just as much as y'all hearing about gas prices going up. And don't let these gas prices try to swindle you into buying electric cars. You know they want to all get electric cars now, right? Don't let them swindle you into that. Gas, we have natural gas on Earth. There's a reason why we're using the gas. The moment we stop using gas, it's going to be a whole bunch of hell. And I'm not no conspiracy theorist or whatever, but I just know they want the Jetsons to happen like yesterday. But I don't know. Listen, for me, gas has not been an issue yet, but I know for others, my mom, my friends who commute like our traffic going and coming from work, that's a lot of money. You know what I mean? That's half a tank of gas sometimes. And then there's traffic. I spoke about the I-95 a few episodes back. You're sitting in the car, and if you're in Miami like myself or in a hotter climate, you're using gas for AC, using gas for everything else just to idle on the highway, and you're wasting gas right then and there. And public transportation is not that great in Florida, so I know for a fact that all the gas companies are capitalizing, and I think this is where I also failed and dropped the ball again. I should have franchised a gas station. There's so many things that I should have gotten into the Zoom stock. I should have franchised a gas station. All this little extra money that's lying around, and I am not taking control of it. And guess what? When I decide to buy a gas franchise, gas prices will be at an all-time low. That's the catch 22. But right now on my block list is gas prices. So it is what it is. That's the point. We got to ride it out literally.
And you got to blame Russia, too, because that whole thing happening in Russia and Ukraine is definitely contributing to gas prices as well. So,
and guess what they're using? Electric cars.
Well, boop-a-doop. Oh, boy. What you going to do? But, yes, until then, I'm walking. I'm actually not walking. I do drive myself. But that's not the point. The point is gas is high. You're absolutely right. On my end, I'm going to start this new segment for myself. I'm going to test it out and see how it goes.
I've been enjoying these test drives.
Yes. It's called Quick Q. Sometimes I have questions on the internet that don't necessarily have answers, but the questions that need to be asked. And my question for this week is, how are these scammers getting away with getting all this money? We watch the Anna Delveys, we watch the Tinder swindlers. How are these people able to get so much money and yet, you know, just like, are they not investing it? Is like, how are they just like taking money from all these people and not investing it in the right places? That's my question. And the second question follow up is, how can I get in on that? How can I get in on scamming money and it work out in the
end? Ooh, you are recording yourself saying you want to scam money?
I'm not saying I want to scam. I didn't say whom or what I'm scamming. I'm just saying the general nature of scamming, because these scammers have an opportunity to flip whatever they're doing.
But that's not the point of scamming. That's not the point of scamming. Scamming is not an investment type of opportunity. It can be, but that's not the point of scammers. Scammers are not, do you know what scamming is about? Scamming is to get money and swindle you out of money so they can have money in their pocket. Not to invest it into something more. That is the mindset of a scammer. Now, if you want somebody who goes into investment marketing, I suggest you go to Black Wall Street. But if you want to scam, you better spend the money like a scammer. Get all the houses, yachts, boats,
airplanes. But they get caught every single time.
But that's my the problem. Lifestyle of the real lifestyle of a scammer. That's what it is. Is that what you want?
The lifestyles of the scams and shameless. No, I don't want that. Look, I can't do jail
like
time.
It sounds like it.
I just
like
want
it.
To ask.
You just made
how
your
do you scam?
You basically
and make it work for you. Someone write the article. I don't know the answers. Okay? 10 ways to scam and make it work. Writers, go do your thing.
Wow.
And once again, this question doesn't have an answer, but that's just my quick cue of the week.
Wow. Well, you know what you could do? And my mother be telling me, because she a big scammer person that could... No, she be pointing out the scammers. She be like, she a scam findee. She could point out, oh my God, look at this worst Walgreens ad. Like, they have 12 different fonts, the Walgreens type of icon in the corner, and please click here, you have a $1,000 reward. She said, they think I'm stupid? And I'm like, you're right, Mom, you're not stupid, because who the hell is going to copy and paste and do a third grade work onto an email and then send it to, from you from Walgreens, all one word, at net.com. At net.com. Walgreens has their own domain, not net.com. Like, calm the fuck on. Like, if you're going to scam, scam well. And this is why I said scammers get caught. Scammers are not thinking about investment. Scamming want easy money, easy fix, so they could just ball out. No scammer is thinking long term. And that's where you get into white collar crimes. And I think that's where you want to go. So maybe you need to talk to somebody. I'm not trying to scam. I didn't make a disclaimer. I did not say I was into scamming. I just have a overt view of it, but I'm not into it. But I'm not sure what my co-host wants to do. Whoever wants to refer back to him, you know his social media platform. You could contact him there and send him a DM.
You're sending the errs after me? Is that what you're doing? the errs after me. Wow. Thought we were friends. Clearly not. It'd be the ones close to you.
We're getting there. We're getting there. We're co-hosts.
Wowzer. Anyway, so...
Love, the love is blooming.
I feel it so much. Ooh. Good job.
Ironically, I do want to end with a Rovism. And this is funny.
Ooh, yes.
This Rovism is ironic because of what we just spoke about. But I strongly believe in this. And aside from all the jokes, this is something that I do hold near and dear to my heart. So my Rovism for the week is clap for your friends, even if their dreams take off before yours do.
That is a mood. Absolutely. Definitely give people their flowers, even if you're not receiving yours yet. Yeah. That's a good point.
Really echoing exactly what I just said. Right, you already started scamming. I see it. You just tweaked it just a little. You really into it. Like, full-on plagiarism. Literally, wow. What I just said.
Oh man, that is funny. But yeah, that's your stuff. That's your thing, not mine.
I'm so done with you.
Wowzer.
Oh.
All right. Well, that's that.
If you guys have any questions, any comments, any advice that you want from us, please don't hesitate to email the podcast at sophigpodcast@gmail.com. Please follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and don't forget to follow myself, R to the OV, and Vixen, all the scammers. You can go in his DM on all our individual platforms. You don't literally just said...
No, don't come to my DMs to scam me. I'm saying come to my DMs to help me. Help me, help me. That's all I'm trying to say.
Whatever it is, help him as much as you can. That's all I got for today.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my.
Well, thank you guys for listening, for real. You know where to catch us on all our podcast platforms and our social media. So if you're listening to this, you already know where to find us. And, yeah, we appreciate you guys listening.
Appreciate the audience so much.
Word. We see you guys growing with us, and we appreciate you. And thank y'all for treating us like one of the healthy podcasts out there.
Yep.
I hope that's what y'all saying. I really hope so. Anyway.
Don't push
all it. All right. We're out of here.
Bye-bye.
Say goodbye, Rovi.
Bye, Rovi.